We present Kenneth Williams, Clement Freud, Peter Jones, and Andre Melle in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you. Thank you very much indeed, and welcome once again to Just a Minute. And once again, I'm going to ask our four contestants to speak, if they can, for just a minute, on some unlikely subject, without hesitation, without repetition, and without deviating from the subject which is written on the card. And according to how well they do this, they will gain points, or their opponents will. And we'll begin the show this week with Clement Freud. Clement, cooking an octopus. That's the subject that Ian Messiter has thought of for you. Will you talk to us about it for 60 seconds, starting now?
Actually, the best parts of an octopus are the legs. And in cooking an octopus...
Peter Jones, why have you challenged?
Octopus doesn't have legs.
What does it have?
Tentacles.
Well done, Peter. So, right away, Peter, you've got in there with a very sharp challenge, I agree. You have 54 seconds, because you were a correct challenge, and you gained a point, cooking an octopus, starting now.
Of course, there are many types of octopus, and you cook them all in quite...
Andre Melle has challenged. Why?
If the types, they're octopi.
Oh, brilliant!
Oh, yes, plural, it's exactly right. Oh, it's brilliant. Oh, clever.
Well, of course, that is grammatically correct, but you do have this problem when you're trying to speak on just a minute with three people waiting to challenge you, whether you use a sort of colloquial phrase that a lot of people probably
would... No, I disagree. You don't necessarily make it into a plural when you say types. You don't say there are a lot of types of Mellies. You say there are many types of Melly.
Yes, I agree, but she has a grammatical point.
If you did, you'd get mixed up with a melee in a football match. I mean, there's a great melee, don't they?
So I'll tell you what I will do. As I agree that you must speak colloquial to keep going, and grammatically you might have been considered a bit error, I will ask the audience to be the final judge on this rather difficult situation. If you agree with Andre's challenge, would you cheer her? And if you disagree, will you boo? And will you all do it together now? Octopuses. Have the day. Peter, you've gained another point for an incorrect challenge. You keep the subject and you have 47 seconds cooking an octopus starting now.
The large old ones, for instance, have to be bashed about a lot in order to make them tender and, in fact, edible. But the smaller variety, if they are dried in the sun on a rock, for instance, rather like a raisin, I've often seen this in Cyprus and in parts of Greece they do this, then they slice the tentacles very thinly, like bacon, fry them in olive oil with a little garlic or some other kind of herb or flavoring, and serve them with a salad of lettuce and olives and anchovies, possibly tomatoes. On the other hand, if you prefer a more solid dish with potatoes and spaghetti or even...
Andre Melle got in just before the whistle went. Why have you challenged?
He's trying to do Clement Freud out of a job, and I don't think it's
fair. And he's done Clement Freud out of a job. It was Clement's subject specially chosen for him. I think, why do you challenge then? Hesitation,
well,
repetition...
because he's an old friend of mine. I don't like to see it happening.
Clement, you have...
I should wait till you taste the octopus.
So, you think it's deviation, do you?
Yes.
I disagree, I'm afraid. So, Peter Jones has another point. Peter's got a friend in the audience. They clap. And there's 1 second on cooking an octopus, Peter, starting now.
Open a flat loaf.
So, the subject of an octopus, which was chosen for Clement Freud, Peter Jones gave us a very interesting dissertation on how to cook it. At the end of that round, the first round, there's only one person who scored any points. It's Peter Jones. He has a commanding lead of 4 over all the others. Andre... Peter, you have more than one friend in the audience, I realise.
Well, Andre Melle. My mouth was watering. You made it sound so succulent.
Yes, I must say. Anyway, I always want to be over there in that lovely holiday atmosphere.
I want to be basking in it.
Andre, Melle, your turn to begin the next round. The subject, bills. Can you talk to us about that? 60 seconds, starting now.
Bill's my eldest brother. He's 3 years older than I am, and he's married. He's got 3 children called Louisa, James, Richard. Charming wife and a lovely house. In fact, you could say Bill's got just about everything that makes a man happy today in this world in which we live. There are another kind of...
Peter Jones challenge, why?
I think there was a suggestion of hesitation there.
Well, do you want to say hesitation or not?
Yes, all I'm right. Just trying to be polite, you know.
Right, you were being polite, but I agree there was a definite hesitation. Peter, I agree with the challenge. You get the subject and you gain a point, of course. 39 seconds on Bill's starting now.
They arrive at the same season of the year, time after time, in January.
Clement Freud has challenged.
Repetition.
Yes, and time after time. You've got to watch these phrases, you know. And Clement, you gain a point for a correct challenge. 34 seconds on Bill's starting now.
The Great Reform Bill and that which I receive each Friday from my milkman are just two which I can very easily do without. The police in Adelaide, sometimes pronounced otherwise by Australians, but I could never get the hang of it, no longer send out accounts in respect of parking fines, but give you an immediate...
Kenneth Williams, a challenge, why?
Yes, and he's discussing accounts and the police in Australia. We're talking about bills. Bills is the subject, not accounts.
I think
accounts
he had
are quite other than bills.
I think he had established that he'd gone on to accounts rather than bills. And
well,
so,
deviation.
So, yes, so you gain a point on the subject. 9 seconds on bills, Kenneth, starting now.
There is only one thing to do about bills, and that is pay them. And anyone that has the temerity...
On this occasion, Kenneth Williams was speaking when the whistle went, which tells us, of course, that 60 seconds is up. He gained the extra point, and he's in second place, trailing a little behind Peter Jones. And Peter, it's your turn to begin, and the subject is tourists. Can you talk to us about them for 60 seconds, starting now?
Nobody really likes to think that they are tourists.
Kenneth Williams, why have you challenged?
Completely inaccurate. I love to be a tourist. I walk on all over the place looking at things.
Yes, he does.
I just love it.
Yes.
So the whole statement's inaccurate, therefore it's deviation.
Well, right. You see...
Well argued.
Thank you, Clem. I'm lovely.
It's very well
just
argued.
Just because I happen to be in the lead for the first time in 16 weeks, they're getting together.
You can be sure of one thing, Peter. If anybody gets in the lead, they get together.
Exactly.
But at the present moment, I think it's a it's a matter of argument. It was well argued by Kenneth Williams, but I disagree with his argument because I think if you're going to discuss the subject of tourists, you can put forward a point of view, which is Peter Jones's on this occasion about tourists. He keeps the subject. 55 seconds left, starting now.
They're not popular, even with travel agents. You often hear them referred to as hordes. Now, this is not a friendly way of describing visitors to one's country who are bringing money.
Kenneth Williams has challenged again.
Deviation, travel agents adore tourism. I mean, this is rubbish. He's talking a load of rubbish. And moreover, he is giving a very, very bad stigma to the whole thing. Now, we as a country should
Kenneth.
Be welcoming these lovely people who come in and bring us invisible import. They are.
Kenneth, before your teeth fall out, I would say on this occasion, I think your good argument convinces me, and I will give the benefit of the doubt to you, because I do think travel agents do like tourists. How else could they exist?
Nothing.
Kenneth, you have a point, and you have the subject of tourists, and there are 44 seconds left, starting now.
Englishmen used to be, in the 19th century, the greatest tourists in the world. In fact, everyone used to say the grand tour had to be done. And Ruskin, in his famous Stones of Venice, recounts this delightful adventure in the open barouche with this friend with a chinchilla muff sitting beside him.
Andre Melly's challenge.
Well, it's very interesting, but he's talking about a tour now, not about tourists.
But tourists make tours. I thought you were going to be very clever and have him on the chinchilla. Oh, no, I thought it was chinchilla. Sorry. No. I disagree with her challenge, because tourists have to make tours, Kenneth. You have the subject still, another point, and 19 seconds starting now.
When I went up the Parthenon, I couldn't believe the sweat was rolling off. And so I called at this charming taverna, and they gave me a great flagon of retsina, a lovely bit of fried mullet, then a bit of steak. Oh, what a time! I won now.
Kenneth, you had us throbbing then with your adventures aboard.
I must be in the lead now.
No. You've done very well. You made a...
Well, how far have I got?
You've got quite far enough. You're just 1 point behind our leader, who is still Peter Jones. But you did leap forward, I must say. Kenneth, it's your turn to begin. Perhaps you've got another chance here. What I do when nobody is looking. That's a very good subject that Ian's thought up for. Because we've heard some very funny stories about what you do on this program when nobody's looking. But can you talk to us about the subject for just a minute, starting now?
What I do when nobody is looking is roughly the same thing that everybody else does. And that is indulge their private fantasy. A psychopathic creature is described as someone who does this when the symbol of authority is removed, be it mother, father, policeman, or whatever. In this case, I qualify for the term because I must be some kind of manic exhibitionist privately. In the bathroom, the fancies I form and the voices I do are fantasia. I've often shot myself at the, oh, how can you? I mean, in the privacy of a tiny room like this, indulge in such extraordinary flights, yet never do I tire. Always I go on. I must be in the lead.
Well, Kenneth Williams.
I must
Williams.
Be in the lead now.
All right, you're in the lead. Clement Freud, your turn to begin. And subject for you, Clement, profity. Can you talk to us about that for 60 seconds, starting now?
I once knew a man who lectured on accountancy at a catering college. And every day he would turn up punctually at 9:30, sit at his desk, pull out a pen, and get working on the profity loss accounts, which were in the left-hand drawer of his large mahogany desk. Profity, profity, loss, he used to say, not wishing to repeat the last word as it was not on the card, and therefore more profity, which made it all right. And yet there are some who felt that perfidy was more...
Kenneth Williams, the challenge, why?
Hesitation.
Yes, with justification. Kenneth, I agree with your hesitation, and there are 21 seconds for profidy starting now.
Profidy, of course, means to be on the side.
Clement Freud has challenged you, why?
Deviation.
Why?
Well, profidy, of course, doesn't mean anything.
Of course. Clement Freud, you
I hadn't gone on to describe. I could have said means nonsense, couldn't I? I hadn't been given a chance. I was sitting here, minding my own business, and before I could do a blooming thing, they leapt on me like a load of hungry wolves, ravenous.
Well, I think that Clement felt if he didn't leap then, somebody else might.
Well, he talked a load of rubbish and you know it.
I know, but you never challenged him for his rubbish, did you? You challenged him for hesitation,
was
which was justified.
What I thought the word meant, I thought it was rather nice. But I'm not going to now, so stick it.
Well, I'm glad you told us what you were going to say, what you thought it was, because you've admitted now that the Clement Freud's challenge was entirely justified. So, Clement, you have a point, and there are 18 seconds for profidy starting now.
Incontentiousness is nothing to do with the word at all.
Clement Williams, why have you challenged?
He's just borrowed deviation. He's just said it's a word, and having formally admitted that it's not a word.
Of course, an incontentiousness has got nothing to do with profidy, because profidy is not correct. So, Kenneth, you've got the subject back of profidy. Can you talk to us about it now for 12 seconds, starting now?
When and I was but a little tiny boy with hi-ho, the wind's rain,
Clement Freud.
And the rain rains every day.
Clement Freud's challenged, why?
Hi-hi, the wind rains.
Oh, yes, he did say that. What a pity.
I didn't. I said, hey, ho, which two
That's
different
right,
sounds
he did.
Not very clearly.
Such a mouth, I dare you.
You didn't think very clearly.
Oh, he's doing impersonation. You see that? You see that?
Well, it is difficult sometimes, Kenneth. I mean, you do get carried away with your own exuberance.
It's Festy the clown talks nonsense.
I
That's
know.
What the word's about. Nonsense, isn't it?
But it's sometimes difficult to understand you, Kenneth.
Oh, sorry.
Right. And you have the subject still of perfidy, and there are 8 seconds starting now.
All words can be coined, and Mr. Herpin, who did Philo to Love and Attilia Freedom from Tax, made up philately.
Kenneth Williams very cleverly kept going on a word, if you haven't already guessed it, actually does mean nothing at all. Doesn't mean nothing at all. It is not a true word. And so, by keeping going and speaking when the whistle went, gaining that extra point, he has really leapt forward into a commanding lead at the end of that round.
So there you are, Peter Jones.
Why you should say that to Peter Jones when you were in rival with...
Because he was so smug when he was 4 in the lead. He was so smug. He was sitting there like a cat with a cream. Wasn't he, Clem?
He had a reason to be. Hasn't played the game as often as you have, Kenneth.
I've not won in this series, you liar!
The series is still young.
I have not a medium. It's all run
through. Andre Melly... After all that, we come to you, and your turn to begin. The subject, how I apply my mascara. Will you talk to us about it for 60 seconds, starting now?
Well, I spit in it. I do find this is the best method. It's a little box, and I have a small brush, which I dip in the so-mentioned saliva, and apply it to the upper lashes of my eyes. There is a different kind of mascara brush, which is like a miniature lavatory brush.
Kenneth Williams has challenged.
Repetition, 2 brushes.
The 3 brushes, actually.
No, yes.
So, Kenneth, the correct challenge. You gain the subject, and there are 40... seconds. The audience enjoying the thought, and you seem quite full of equanimity about it. How I apply my mascara, Kenneth. 42 seconds, starting now.
Well, it was my mascara, that much is certain, and it was in a film studio that it was applied, but it was done by a very charming young lady who, I am thankful to say, did not spit, as his recommends, into anything, but on the contrary, moistened the brush from fresh tap water and with loving care applied... who's got the nerve?
Peter Jones has got the nerve.
A deviation. He's telling about this young lady who applied his mascara. He should be talking about how he applies his mascara.
You're quite right. The subject is how I apply my mascara, and you were talking about how the young lady applied your mascara. So that is a correct challenge. And Peter has a point, and there are 15 seconds with you, Peter, on how I apply my mascara. Starting now.
Listeners may not be aware that I am prematurely grey. And when I play a part which requires my hair to be black, I have to apply mascara. And to do this, I use 2 large...
Peter Jones is then speaking when the whistle went, so he gained the extra point. And if I be forgiven for using the phrase I used rather a lot last week, he's now creeping up on Kenneth Williams. But Kenneth is still in the lead. And Kenneth, your turn to begin. Rodomontade. Can you talk to us about that for 60 seconds, starting now?
Well, Lyly, I suppose, would be considered the past master of this art. The art of...
Andre Melly, challenge first.
2 arts.
2 arts, yes. I agree with Andre's challenge. She has 49 seconds, starting now.
I believe this means to talk and rant on alarming on any subject which you like. Humpty Dumpty in Through the Looking Glass was an experiment.
Kenneth Williams, a challenge. Why?
Hesitation.
Not quite.
In Through the Looking Glass.
Yes,
what are you
almost,
talking about?
But not quite, Kenneth. And so
In Earth Through the Looking Glass.
She was teetering on the edge of hesitation. She didn't quite achieve it.
It was Humpty Dumpty who was doing that, surely.
Yes. He was also doing it. I disagree with Kenneth's challenge. He can afford to be generous. He's well in the lead. 40 seconds for you, Andre, still with Rodomontade, starting now.
Goliath, there was an exponent, if you like. Booming.
Clement Freud, you challenge.
Hesitation.
I would agree this time, yes. Her boom didn't come out quick enough.
Oh!
36 seconds for Rodomontade with you, Clement, starting now.
In the country lanes of Sligo, you will find on a Saturday afternoon Rod O'Montage, one of the broths of boys, chirping...
Kenneth Williams of Challenge.
Well, I mean, obvious hesitation.
Yes, it was hesitation. Yeah. Having thought of that wonderful thing about Rod O'Montage, everybody paused to think about it, including Clement Freud, so yes. He hesitated. And, Kenneth, you have another point. 24 seconds, Rod O'Montage, starting now.
We shall light a beacon in Europe, which could be described as a fine piece of rodomontade insofar as he had only a candle at the time he said it. But what a beautiful sound rodomontade very often has, euphuistic, euphonymous, or onomatopoeic.
Kenneth, you were speaking when the whistle went. You gave more points, you've increased your lead, and you very nearly gave me an impossible decision to make because I thought they might challenge you on the you, few, mystic, and you might have been challenged for repetition of you when it was part of a word that you took
slowly. No, you're getting it wrong. I never said euphemistic. I said euphuistic. Two different things.
Well, it doesn't matter. You paused after the you, and I might well have been challenged for it. It would have been an impossible decision to make, which I often have to
do. I've got a feeling you're getting awfully bolshy.
I'm just pointing out the pitfalls that occur so that you won't repeat them because I can't make decisions about them. Clement Freud, your turn to begin. The subject is geezers. Can you talk to us about them? 60 seconds, starting now.
Geezers is a colloquial word meaning chaps, people, masculine humanity, the sort that comes up with a cap askew, a Macintosh open, who do not necessarily reveal themselves but dress in a fairly unappetizing manner. So that you might say,
Kenneth Williams.
Deviation, this is completely untrue. I don't dress like that. And the taxi driver said to me, are you the geezer on the telly?
Yes, I think you can call anybody a geezer, not just the type that Clement Freud is describing.
Well, he's making it sound all sort of disreputable, isn't he?
Well, he's making a geezer apply to only one type of individual, which he very clearly drew for us. So, Kenneth, I agree with your challenge. You have yet another point. 41 seconds, starting now.
These are the things that spout out of the ground in New Zealand. And when I was over there, I said to this girl, oh, what is all that hot liquid that appears to be projecting itself into the air? She said, well, it's sulfurous, you see. And if you bathe yourself in that actual fluid, you will find all your aches and all your...
Clement Freud's challenge, why?
Repetition.
Of?
All your.
All your, yes, yes. Well, I have to know, Clement, to see whether you've spotted it correctly. So you gain a point for a correct challenge and 19 seconds on geezers, Clement Freud, starting now.
One of the most interesting things about our bathroom is that when you turn on the cold water tap, hot aqueous matter runs out of it. And this would appear to be...
Peter Jones, why have you challenged?
I don't think you can call it aqueous matter. You can say liquid, if you like.
I do think that very few people refer to it as hot aqueous matter. But on the other hand, yes, if you've already used the word water and you're playing just a minute and on the spur of the moment you have to think of another phrase...
Well, you
I
just
think it's...
say it. Or and you, liquid or
you
something.
You do, I didn't. I said hot aqueous
I matter. Think on the spur of the moment it was quite a clever way of keeping going without hesitation or repetition. So, to be perfectly fair, we must leave it with Clement Freud, who has another point. 8 seconds, geezers, Clement, starting now.
And the plumber who was called said, it's the geezer. I said, only one. He replied, no.
Kenneth Williams, a challenge.
The plumber who called said, and I said,
yes,
said.
That's right. There were 2 saids. So, Kenneth, you have yet another point. It is the last round.
You said it quite differently.
You said it quite differently. And you said it beautifully. You said it profoundly. You said it interestingly. But you said it. All right, Kenneth, you have 2 points on geezers starting now.
The gas all corroded, the geezer exploded and blew us back into the news.
Well, Kenneth was speaking when the whistle went. He gained the extra point. As I said a moment ago, I'm afraid we have no more time for any more. That was the last round, so I will give you the score at the end of that round. Andre Melly was in fourth place, a little way behind Clement Freud. There was 2 points behind Peter Jones, who was no less than 9 points behind the fellow who earlier on said, I haven't won at all in the series. But today he has won comfortably, amply, nobly, and generously. This week's winner, Kenneth Williams. Kenneth has been so overcome with his success that he has absolutely slipped underneath the desk with embarrassment. Thank you very much for listening to this particular program of Just a Minute. We do hope that you enjoyed it. And from all of us here, goodbye.
The chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The program was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by David Hatch.